All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And today, we are going to talk about a really relevant rapper, and that is Drake. Now, we haven't gone much into detail about both of our thoughts on Drake. So it's going to be really interesting. We're just going to talk a little bit about him, you know, his career, and then go into our top five songs of Drake songs. I'm going to preface this, though, with something really quickly. I am not a huge fan of Drake.
And I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
And I think it has to do of when I was introduced with him. So I'll give you a little bit of my backstory, a little bit on why I don't like Drake and why it's continued on till this day. So, like I said, I stopped listening to rap for a good, like, 5-6 years or stopped listening to something new. And it was, like, between, like, 2007 and, like, 2012, 2013, something like that. And that's around the time that Drake actually started coming out with, when he came up with his first mixtape, and then he came out with his first studio album. And I never heard anything about him. The thing that caught my attention was, like, I started seeing all these people saying, like, YOLO, YOLO, YOLO. I was like, what the heck is this? And there's like, you only live once. I'm like, okay, what is it? Just something that just like a trendy thing? And I don't know if Drake started or not, but a lot of people that I spoke with, they said that the reason they started using it was because of his song The Motto. And where he's like, you only live once, let them fuck him out every day, every day. And I was like, ugh. And that instantly made me hate Drake. I hated that thing. I hated people were saying that all the time. I was like,
I agree. I hate the word YOLO. I don't like the song, but I'm still a huge Drake fan. I'm a big fan.
But ever since then, like, everything he's ever done after that, just the few times that I had listened to him, I didn't like. Like, when he Cowboy started from the bottom, I didn't like it. I was like, this kid from Degrassi talking about starting from the bottom? What the fudge? And then, like, his whole... Again, I didn't know much about Drake at the time. Like, his whole thing of him singing a lot, and that's where all of his singles and a lot of his success was coming from, his singing. And I was like, he's trying to, he's like, he says he's a rapper, but a lot of his tracks are singing, and they're catchy. I mean, and no one can deny that. They're catchy. A lot of his songs are, especially the ones where he sings. But that, for whatever reason, rubbed me the wrong way. Like I said, I was a very purist at heart with rap, and getting into the new stuff, it took me a long time to actually go and grow into or give it a chance to be like, okay, let's, you know. And Bobby was the one that kind of, you know, you have to sift through a lot of crap, but there is good stuff in there. And so that's what kind of got me into being, okay, let's actually look at this Drake character, this Drake rapper, see what he's all about. Because we've talked about, you know, how rap is an art. And when people aren't rappers, they're just rapping, it rubs me the wrong way. And that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, Drake is saying he's a rapper, but he's just rapping sometimes. He just likes singing. He likes being this pop guy. But going back on topic, like, that's the whole reason why, for the longest time, every time Drake came on, I was like, no, I don't want to listen to this guy. He sounds like this when he's rapping. I was like, no, I don't want that.
That's funny because I told you I kind of was excited for this one because typically I'm the one that has a very strong opinion either towards or, like, mostly against someone. I hold that dearly against them. And Drake is one of the rare exceptions for me where there's the concept of the whole ghostwriting. I actually don't care when people have ghostwriting. I only care when they claim that they're the greatest of all time. You get an asterisk, really. If you were considered a greatest of all time, you get an asterisk next to your name, because part of, I think, the art form is being able to write everything. And I know some artists, even prolific high prolific ones other than Drake, have had one or two ghostwriters here and there, right? Like, it may just comes with the territory, but if you're notoriously having ghostwriters for everything, that's a slight drawback. But to me, I don't care enough. I still like the music, and he kind of owns it, to be honest, in some of his beefs, which I think we'll talk about. He talks about, you know, ghostwriters, and
the way he words it, though, sometimes gets, like, I saw him, he was like, you're not saying using Garcia, you're saying because you're crediting them. But I was like, but we'll talk about that in a bit. So let's kind of go into when he actually came out, because his actual debut and stuff was actually really huge. Like, he almost got a Grammy off. Was it his mixtape or was it his first studio album?
His studio album is what gained him the it's actually Take Care, his second album.
His second studio
that
album.
That got the best rap album of the year.
But
I
he
didn't
got
necessarily
robbed
agree, the, but.
Yeah, but didn't he get robbed? But didn't he felt like he should have won the first.
I think he probably should have won something, right? At least song. I don't know what he was robbed. I don't follow the Grammys. I think they're contrived and fake and blasphemous, but. I mean, P. Diddy has one. I anyone that tells me the Grammys are worth something, I just say P. Diddy has one. So to me, Grammys mean nothing, quite frankly, to me. Nothing. I don't care that Jay-Z has 21 or 22, whatever. I don't care that Kanye has 19. Drake has a couple. Grammys are trash.
But the sun don't shine forever.
No, I fucking. The fact that Diddy has a fucking Grammy.
Come with me. And fly with me.
Tupac and Biggie don't have one. That's enough. Like, no one can argue me on that. We're done with that discussion.
Okay, so, but anyway, he came out with a mixtape, and it was the only one, and then he did his actual studio album. But from what I understand, he blew up really big, like, really quickly. And because I think his first studio album, Kanye West produced it, right? Was it just solely him?
The mixtape?
Not the mixtape, his first actual, like...
No, that wasn't a Kanye West. I can look it up. I don't think so. I never looked into that one.
I'm pretty sure it was. Or he was heavily involved in it, because I know Drake is still a big Kanye West fan.
Yeah, they have like their back and forth, but
yeah. So he came out and it was interesting because I never had heard in the beginning of any rapper coming from Canada, and much less someone who was from Degrassi. So I was like, what the heck? This guy's rapping?
Like, probably most people thought he... I didn't even know he was from Degrassi. I've always known him as a rap artist. So, I mean, to me, I didn't have that stigma. So maybe that's what made me like him more.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, he's just this reality TV show guy. Or I don't even know if it's a reality TV show, but
it's like
he's in a wheelchair or something.
Yeah. it's just interesting, like, to know that that's where he started. I think it was Lil Wayne, right, who like, flew him out to start recording his 17 songs for his mixtape, I believe. Quote me if I'm wrong, Papi, because I know you're probably looking it up.
I'll be looking it up, but I mean, I really don't think it was Kanye West. Kanye West didn't get involved with him until years later because I thought he had his small crew. He always has. I know because Boy Wanda's one of the ones, and 40, because 40 is the one that's has like the MS or something.
Yeah.
And that's the one that Pusha T takes a shot at that Drake was unhappy about.
Which we'll talk a little
bit. And then there's Jay Prince, which is like his manager or
something like that,
one of his promoter. Hold up. I'll look it up. You continue and then I'll tell you who produced it.
But anyway, like ever since his debut, like we won't go into like a full history about it, but he's been very popular with the mainstream rap scene. And a lot of, I think a lot of hip hop heads do really like him as well. I think what set him apart was his mixture of conventional rapping and then him singing. And I know like now a lot of people talk about, well, there's different kind of rappers. There's like, you have the mumble rap, you have lyrical rappers, you have melodic rappers. And I think Drake is kind of the one, I don't know if he pioneered it, but he's like, he's the one that people look at when you talk about a melodic rapper. Oh, that's Drake.
Because, he perfected it.
Yeah. I can't think of anyone proficient in it before him that I can really like comes off the top of my head. But because I think he's really the one that pioneered it. And like I said, he's the best one out there because there's no one else that does it like him.
No, absolutely not.
Other rappers have tried, but it just doesn't work the way that he does. And despite my criticism on him and how much I don't like him, I do give him credit for singing. Because singing is also its own talent, its own art. And granted, there are a lot of singers that are better than him, but he knows what he has and he knows how to use that efficiently. So he doesn't try and sing a song that's way high, that's out of his range, that he knows he can't do. like Kanye. Kanye doesn't really sing, but when he did sing, he had to use like all this like auto-tune and everything to like help him hit those high notes. So in that respect, I do give Drake a lot of credit for doing that. And a lot of his success come from those singing pop songs. Like we have In My Feelings, we have One Dance, Hotline Bling, yeah, I was saying it right. And he's kind of made his own style, his own thing. And I think that's what makes people gravitate to him. And be like, yo, this guy, he's doing something different. And then they like it. and I've kind of just been rambling on, but I mean, Poppy, like, what is your, like I guess, general view on Drake?
Well, that's why I like him. I think he's perfected the melodic aspect of singing, and then he can, on the, you know, just on a dime, switch it right back to rapping. And at first, I know you mentioned you didn't like kind of his monotone, flat method of delivery, and it's changed since. Obviously, he's evolved as the time is by. He's 10 years in the making, right? Almost 10 years.
Yeah.
He stayed consistent, hit after hit. I mean, I really don't know another rapper, quite frankly, who has as many club hits as you would consider them, like bangers, than him. Like, and ultimately, he really does. And to your point, it's because it's not strictly all rap. There's the singing aspect to it. That's why people like him so much. So it also naturally probably, alludes to it. Not alludes, that's the wrong word. It captivates a wider audience, right?
Right.
Because, again, most people inherently dislike hip-hop for the speaking art method in which it is. My mom's actually one of them. She hates that it's a spoken thing. She doesn't... I don't even know if she likes slam poetry, to be honest. But she likes singing. She likes hearing that there's the vocal talent. Well, that talent has to be made up elsewhere, and that's people don't usually look into it, and that's fine. But because he's able to sing, and he really can sing... more audience, like more people will listen to him. His fan base is bigger, so he essentially appeals to more than just hip hop heads.
And I think that's where there's that difference in opinion and that split between people who like him. Like, there's pure hip hop heads that are like, no, Drake is not a rapper. And they're like, well, he's evolved the game, he's evolved the style so that it branches out to not just be a linear genre.
Yeah.
And so there's tons of pros and cons to each side. And I would be more, I'm more on like, I think he's great. He's a good artist. I'm just not a huge fan of his overall, like, I don't know.
What he brings to the table.
Yeah. Like everything that he does, I don't understand. Like I've been able to listen to him, to discography, to get ready for this.
Sure.
And I've grown to appreciate more of what he does. And I do like a lot of stuff that he comes out of, but it's not one that I would basically come out and be like, oh, I want to listen to Drake right now. Like, I feel like I want to listen to Drake.
And I'm like that when I go to the gym or even when I'm driving on my way to work or on my way to home. I mean, I have certain playlists. I have certain moods that I go through where I have this specific artist fits it. And Drake can consistently be on there. Same like with some of the other ones that I've mentioned before on other episodes that are like, these are my favorite rappers. Drake still is in the conversation with me. And I don't know. Purist is an interesting way if we define it specifically. I fit that mold pretty well. But I consider Drake a hybrid, and when you think of his accolades or his level of success, I think I can see the lines and bend kind of the rules to see where he fits in, right?
Yeah.
Because one of the records he holds, which used to be held
by Jeezy,
is like the number one hip hop tracks or records, right? That play on air. Okay, I get that, but Jay-Z is not a singing guy at all. He is what you just mentioned, a hip hop purist. Listen to he's a spoken word from beginning to end. He's not melodic by any means. So again, anyone who doesn't like listening to anything that doesn't have singing is probably going to tune him out and not make that record as big. Drake has a bigger audience merely because he sings. So some people, I'm sure, listen to his stuff, don't care too much for the rapping aspect, but like the singing, like the song Controller, that's like all singing. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And
but I mean, I don't, he still, he gets it. I wouldn't consider it a hip hop record. Like, that's not a number one hip hop track for sure.
Right.
Not in my book.
And a lot of his number one hits that contribute.
But it's still a number one hit.
Yeah, but a lot of his number one hits that contribute to that aren't the ones that where he's like really rapping. Is a lot of his songs, like I said, Hotline
Exactly,
Bling.
Exactly. Yeah.
I forget all the other names of the songs. In My
Marvin's
Feelings,
Room,
God's Plan.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of ones that be like, okay, he has a number one hit, but is that a rap song?
God's Plan, by the way, sounds like a not hopscotch song. Jump Rope,
yeah,
right? Like when people
yeah.
are double dutching.
Yeah,
it just sounds like a double dutch song to me.
Yeah, and so, like I said, he's a very interesting topic, I think, for everyone.
Yeah.
I will say this, and this is where, and we're going to dive into a little bit about his...
did we say we're going to rank him, by the way? Just
no,
like we did with DMX?
Okay. I think we should do five. Rank him like underrated, overrated?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll rank him.
Okay.
So, one more thing I want to talk before we go to our top five songs would be... his beefs that he's had. Because he's had a few... And
I wouldn't consider them full blown beefs, other than maybe with Pusha T, and that's about it.
Yeah, but again, like when in this day and age, there's not a lot of that going on. Like
unfortunately,
what he's done is like pushing the limits, like in this day and age. Like it wasn't before. And again, that was extreme, like in the 90s, where people like would get hurt. And again, Big and Tupac were fatalities of beef. So it's not to that level. But like you said, it's so tame now. It's just doesn't.
Not in your face.
It's not in your face. Like the biggest one, or I guess publicly one, was him and Meek Mills. And he had his song Back to Back, which was his diss track to Meek Mills. And I actually liked it, but. Again, Poppy, you said this, like, you thought it was really tame compared to, like, other diss tracks that we've heard in the past.
Yeah, it's just mild stuff.
Yeah, and that one just kind of fizzled out. Like, it didn't really...
It played in the club.
Yeah. So
which is odd. I've never heard a beef song play in the club. What kind of beef song is really in your face if they're playing it in the club? Like, you can take shots at someone, but if the whole song is a diss track that is popular enough to get people dancing, that's just weird to me.
You're dancing around, like, oh, yeah, I screwed your wife. And, oh, why am I dancing to this?
Like, they would never play, Ether in the club. Why would you play Ether in the club?
I don't know. There was, and then, again, he's had, like, a love-hate relationship with Kanye, which he's been opening about him, like, really looking up to Kanye in the beginning, and now...
Same with Jay.
Yeah, same with Jay. And I can't remember all the facts that happened, but I remember that I think Kanye was going to give a song to Drake, one of his songs, and then he put it on his album, and then other things that came out, like that he was a snitch for releasing the information about
his hidden baby.
About his hidden baby to Pusha T. And so he's had that one. Then he has Pusha T.
He had a thing with like J. Cole and Kendrick for a little bit.
But wasn't that more like they weren't like direct beef? No, it was just kind of jabs at each
subtle,
other.
It's subtle, like subliminal disses to each other.
Yeah.
He had a thing with back and forth with Jay, similar concept as Kanye, but I get the Jay one because it was basically Jay versus Birdman and Wayne. So he's like, well, that's my camp. Yeah. I have to fight for him in a weird way. So Jay has made all of his studio albums, being the first one, the Thank Me Later, the second or the third one, which is Nothing Was the Same,
uh-huh,
and this last one, Scorpio. So I don't know. It's weird. They'll have this thing for a year, fizzles out, and then they hop on a track together.
Yeah, Meek Mills and Drake, but they came out with...
They squashed that publicly, though.
Yeah, they squashed it publicly.
Going Bad is a good song.
Yeah.
But it's a Meek Mills song, so I can't pick that as my favorite.
they have some bomb songs on that CD. And so, like I said, he's had like stuff that just fizzled in and out or didn't really amount to anything. And he even talked about how... And we talked about this, and we'll probably expand upon it more. He was talking about beef when Pusha T mentioned one of his friends who has MS.
It's 40s producer.
Yeah. And he was like, you crossed the line. And he's like, there are no rules in beef, but there are rules in beef. Which means, like, and he's saying, like, you know, there are unwritten rules of when you're beefing with someone.
I disagree.
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah. No, I think that the only rule really applies, and LOX said this, funny enough, because it was when Minaj was beefing with Remy Ma, because Remy Ma went at Nicki hard, right?
Yeah.
And so they asked them, because those three are notorious for beefing with people, and Jadakiss and Styles P was like, you know what? Literally anything is on the table. The only rule is you have to stick by what you say. So if you're ready to suffer whatever consequences for whatever you say on a track, then that's just what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember who it was. Someone who went after Jay, well, they mentioned something about Beyonce.
It was Wayne.
It was
Birdman,
Wayne?
Yeah. That's when he's like, you babies ain't got my lady money.
Yeah.
That's like on Ham, on the track they did Watch the Throne with, not the track, the album. That era was when Drake separated from Jay. He beefed with Birdman and Wayne. They never responded. So Drake says some corny shit about Jay's art. So Jay goes on a song and calls him Mrs. Drizzy. Like, he emasculates him and says, I'm sorry, I can afford stuff and you can't, basically.
Yeah. So... He's active in these little, I want to call them beefs. They're squabbles.
Yeah.
The little like
disagreements, really dispute.
Yeah, and so nothing really going on with that. And he, I don't know. At least he's keeping it alive in one capacity.
In one way, yeah, for sure.
So because we don't have anything else public. Like I know, like I think Mace had some sort of beef like a few years ago
with Drake.
Not with Drake, but like I'm just talking about beef in general. But his wasn't public because. I mean, Mace.
He's
washed out. I mean, whatever he does, people are not going to know about unless you're like really underground and really still only follow
up,
old people. But so let's go into our top five Drake songs. Because, like I said, despite me not liking him, I have to give the man credit because he does come out with some bomb songs. And a lot of it has to do with the beat. And only there's only one song for me where it was his flow and the way that he sounded, because it sounded so different than what he did everything else.
Okay.
Than his singing or usual rapping voice. So let me let's see here. Let me go get mine really quick.
I didn't rank them 1 to 5, but I can try and do that while we do it.
I didn't rank them 1 to 5. Okay. Either. What I'm doing is just kind of putting them. Just these are my top five. They'll kind of float around. Yeah.
And then before we rank him, I wanted to apologize because I didn't convey it correctly. I think I included the elements in it, but I didn't specify what criteria I'd used to rank DMX. So I still stand behind my ranking for DMX. I think I'll just explain the like five categories I use to determine whether I think that this is why they're great or this is why they're not.
Yeah. And here's the thing that I want to explain before we even go to like whether he's underrated, overrated, or gets the right amount of credit. I really had to look at it, it's like, okay, what am I rating him as? Because I know we're a hip hop podcast.
Now this is a personal ranking.
Yes, this is a personal ranking. So it's like, so what am I looking at? Am I looking at based on his rapping songs, CDs, albums, all that? Or am I looking at just his whole discography? Because there's people are like saying you have to look at everything, and I'm looking at everything. But I was like, what am I looking? Am I gonna omit anything? Am I gonna put like all of his like poppy songs into his actual like rap songs?
Yeah.
So it's like that's how I'm looking at it as well. I think yours is gonna be different. Yeah, but that's just one aspect of like.
Yeah, I look at the entire body of work, including right now, and that's where I put DMX. Like, it was appropriate because even now and for several years, many people are like, he's washed up, he's out, he's done, which fits the time. He's been out. He hasn't. So, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like,
he got what he needed when he got it. He's not getting the credit now, and he doesn't deserve any credit now. So he can't be overrated, but he's not underrated because I don't think he was underappreciated when he was big.
Yeah.
So we'll do the same with Drake and anyone else.
And this was going to be interesting because he's still like way up there. Like when Drake releases an album, not only do his singles chart, but just any song on his album will chart in the top 100s. Because I would look at the Billboard Hot 100s a lot recently, and when a Drake album comes out, like then maybe another high, but like in the 90s and 80s, like just random songs, and then their singles are way up higher.
Dude,
but
it's just interesting. I'm telling you right now that he is top 10 guaranteed most prolific rapper, arguably top 5 of all time. Prolific, okay? And if you don't know what prolific is, look it up. But he is arguably top 5 prolific. I'm going to say easy top 10.
Okay. All right. So let's go here. So the first one I'm going to is in my top 5. Not number 5, but just in top 5 is his song Hold On, We're Going Home.
That's a good one.
Now, this song is interesting because they even talked about like how they wanted to give like an 80s Michael Jackson type of feel to one of his singles and what he wanted to do.
To be honest.
And I don't think it sounds like Michael Jackson, but what got me was the beat that it has and the way that it's structured. His singing, it fits the synths, everything that he's going with and the mood. But what I love is when the synth starts, because it doesn't start on the start of the measure. It starts half a beat before, and it's like a bang bang thing, and I love it. I don't know why I heard it. I was like, oh dang. So I don't care what Drake's saying, but this song. And then I started listening, and he, like I said, he's very melodic. He knows how to complement the beat very well. He doesn't try to go against it. But he naturally, with the voice, the pitch that it's at and everything, he knows how to, he at least with that beat and what they sing, it just made it just like a good, like kind of, it was just like a nodding kind of soothing song that I like to listen to. And just hold on, I'm going home. It was really good.
It's great to listen to. It sounds good. It's not in my top 5, but I mean, it could make an honorable mention if I wanted to. Yeah. Easy.
Like I said, it's not very deep and it's very repetitive. It's a very, 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 very poppy song. But again, you can do pop right. It doesn't have to. And I think that's what he did with this song. He did it very right. He didn't have to make it very deep. He just made something that was likable, singable, not that hard for people to sing. And that's what gravitated me to it. I was like, yeah, dang, he did good.
He has that artist that, I mean, I've never heard of this artist before. And I said this to you before we started recording, that one thing I like about him is that he'll include people that most people don't know. He just likes their style. And that album is pretty prevalent, and that's the one on Nothing Was the Same. Uh-huh. And I think that person's name is like Mahid Jordan or something like that. And he is the one that has like that other echo and stuff, I think. Yeah. Because you hear like the background vocals, like, you're good girl, you're the one. That's my favorite part, actually. That falsetto with like the middle baritone and then, or with the middle sound and then the baritone, like the low,
and tying it all in together. And it's a very stripped song. Like, it's not overproduced. It's just maybe three or four instruments.
He has a lot of stripped songs, and they end up being my favorite ones as I read off my list.
They are good in that, and that's something that I do like, that he doesn't overdo it with the production, or whoever is producing his album knows, like, let's do it more just raw. And I think that works well with him and his style.
Dude, props to, again, 40 and Boy Wonder. Those two producers are on point for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, that's one of them.
That's a good one. Oh, man, he has so many for me, honestly. I'll start off with this one again because it's really popular. There's the 0 to 100 one, but it's a two-part song, and I love two-part songs. Again, if you guys listen to some of our previous ones, I've mentioned it before. So it's the 0 to 100, and then it's, the other one's called The Catch-Up. And it's funny because not ketchup like what you put on fries. It's ketchup. But
better ketchup.
Yeah. when we did the 2018, like our favorite songs that we had heard that year, JID had the song called Never. And it was, again, like a two-part song. Had one beat and he was kind of serious. And then he makes it fun at the end. And this one's kind of flipped, right?
Yeah.
This one is, it's fun, right? Kind of just in your face, braggadocio. And then it flips to like being pretty introspective and like reflecting on himself and his career. So that's why I like it. It goes from one mood to another. Longer song. I'm always a fan of that. So 0 to 100 and then The Catch-Up. Not to mention, everyone knows it. Chef Curry with the shot, boy. Boom, boom.
He has like that tattoo of Curry.
He has a tattoo of Curry and of KD.
But no LeBron.
No. That we know. But he sings the most about LeBron. Well, I guess he might sing more about Chef Curry, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe
I can go tally it, but
I just remember just in my listening, I just hear it all the time, and I was like,
you just hear references about LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Top NBA player. I mean, hip hop has always had some sort of fascination with it, right? They always make mention Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, any other big players.
And he does mention Jordan in his songs as well. Yeah. I think he does it in back to back. Yeah, he does. He does it back to back, he sends it. Which I guess I'll talk about that one. Back to back is one of the ones that I really like. And he, again, so this was a response to Meek Mill's, and also like a response to like the whole ghostwriting stuff. His whole thing, like back to like the cover of a Lethal Weapon movie, like back to back, like Michael Jordan 96, 97, back to back. Like I like it. And it's not, like I said, it's not like a huge diss to Meek Mill's.
It isn't, because he said it's weighing heavy on his conscience.
Yeah.
But fuck, you left the boy no options. Just. It was good, but it wasn't as good as I think it could have been.
Yeah, but like you said, this was played in like clubs. It was played like to dance to, and it's like that. If that was Drake's intention, then he failed miserably to write a diss track. Like Eminem will show you how to write a diss track. Like he'll go and attack you. You're never gonna hear that in the club.
No, you're not gonna dance to a diss track from Eminem.
No,
he doesn't really even have any club songs, to be frank.
Yeah, I mean, when he tried to, they failed, but. Ugh. No, but that's because that's just not him.
No, it's not his style.
And so, but I did like it because, it's one of the few diss tracks that is made public that people actually care about.
Yeah.
And I think he did pretty well, like, to basically, like, what's the word, brag about himself and how good he is. He didn't really diss too much on Meek Mill's more than he did, like, well, I'm better than
you. Yeah, he's actually self-aware because, like, my favorite line is actually, you getting bodied by a singing nigga. So, like, he recognizes he's melodic. And like a singing guy, not strictly hip hop. So I like that because that's part of the beef, right? Like Meek Mill's talking about like, he just sings all the time or whatever. So, and he threw that into the diss track where he wasn't singing, and I liked it.
I like one of the lines I liked. He says, you turned your trigger fingers into Twitter fingers. I was like, that's I like that one. That was nice. Being like, you went from like this hardcore gangster to just like talking smack online on social media. So I like that. Like I said, he had good jabs in there.
There's good elements.
So it was a refresh. It was a refresher to get something like that. But again, it's very tame compared to other diss tracks that we've had in the past. But again, it's one that I like on him. So yeah, Back to Back is on there. Yeah, not ranked, but just in my top five.
Okay. One is called Diplomatic Immunity, and it's very stripped, right? It's it's probably like two or three instrumentals at most. And it's really, if you know what diplomatic immunity is, it's you're afforded these certain rights or grants and immunity. So you, it, like, certain things don't affect you because you have this social status or whatever. And he's talking about that applying to him. It was when he was not making music for a ton of time. I think what he was doing is focusing on the OVO stuff, and just away. But he came back and he dropped Diplomatic Immunity, and it doesn't have a chorus. He just sings from beginning to end, or not sings, sorry. He raps from beginning to end, and basically talks about why he's as good as he is, and he's basically untouchable. And again, I love that stuff, so that's why it's one of my favorite songs.
And I will say this: I think a lot of his stuff that he writes is, he doesn't brag like so much like on every song. He's not like Lil Wayne brags on every song. Even if it's about love, it's about me. I'm good at this. So he's I don't know if he's humble or if just that's just not his forte in writing, or he doesn't like to write about this stuff.
If he does write if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
No.
Oh no. But yeah, so when he does do it, it's like he's like, oh, this is actually like a change. It's a breath of fresh air.
It is refreshing, like his take on it. Because he is bragging, but nowhere near the sense as you're saying. Like, it's not super boastful. He just, this is what it is.
Yeah. And like I said, there's a humbleness to it, which some people might like, some people don't like. Because some people like rappers that are just like all in your face. Like, yeah, I have everything. I'll take your girl. Some people are like, nah, that's cliche. That's been overdone. And maybe take a step back a little bit, which I think Drake does with those songs where he does brag about something.
Yeah, so his flow is actually very relaxed in Diplomatic Immunity, right? It's not aggressive. It's not in your face. It's very mild, really. So it's introspective, and I like it.
But like I said, most of his writing comes from his personal experiences and love, or something that has like, or supposed to have a deeper meaning.
He's like an emotional guy.
Yeah, and so that's why it's interesting when in one of the songs he talks about like these, what's it called? Soap opera rappers. And like,
he can fit the mold.
Yeah, it was just funny. It's like him calling the kettle black.
But that's also why he has such a big audience, because it makes it relatable, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't relate to, like, honestly, Wayne is so unique. And the things he says, who's going to relate to some of the stuff he says? Yeah. There's not much to like hold on to, but Drake consistently sings about heartbreak and I don't know, just terrible relationships. And most people, whether they've experienced it themselves or seen someone go through it, like that's just something that they can hold on to.
Yeah, and like I said, it's he's singing about stuff that he has experienced. He can't sing about being in the ghetto because I mean,
look, his mom I think was a successful like attorney or something.
Yeah, so
like, he was
in
poor.
He was in shows, like he never like had to like worry about his next meal. Yeah. Again, you know more about him like as you listen to his songs. So he had his own struggles, which he stays,
everybody does. Yeah.
And he stays true to those. He doesn't try to expand or be like Ray Schumer, who sings about having luxurious stuff when they wrote that song when they were dirt poor. It's like,
okay. I appreciated that though, because it made
they
basically predicted what they were gonna get.
Yeah. But going back to Drake, like one of his stripped down songs, one of his songs I really like is Look What You've Done. So basically, this is a song about his mom and about his uncle, and he sings about like his relationship like at a time like with some girls that he was in love with at the time, and explains just kind of story wise what he's done for his mom and what he's done for his uncle, because he also didn't have his father around, and it was his uncle who kind of took him under and helped him and gave him stuff even when he didn't have any money to give, so he really helped Drake. And so his song was just very raw, was very personal, and again it was very just stripped down, raw, and I really liked it that he can do that, because we've had other ones before like Tupac did one about his mom, he has done other songs like that, but Drake's was very different because he didn't live Pac's life, because Pac did live a very thug life.
Yeah.
Drake didn't. But
which
is fine, but I think that's what made it more relatable to me. Like I had my father with me, but like his the way that he explains like who was there for him, instead of just saying, oh, my dad wasn't there, like, and he's
just saying his mom is there.
Yeah, he focuses on like, even though it was hard, these are the people that got me through it. It was relatable, and that's what drew me to that song. I was like, you know what, this is a good song. This is actually one that he's telling us exactly how he feels, what he went through. And I could be like, hey, I had that same situation, or I've had those same feelings, maybe not in the same way you did, but I can relate to it, and I can listen. And it's one that I want to listen more and more and be like, this is a good song.
Part of me thinks that for the same reasons you mentioned, like how he's not gangster, mafioso type rap style, That's why he probably appreciates Kanye, because if everyone really remembers Timeline, before Kanye, there wasn't any non-violent, non-gangsta style rap. Big. You know what I mean? Like, we'll talk about it in another one, but Kanye's the one that kind of introduced what they call backpack style rap, or just, this is non-gangsta rap. It's more, it's a different demographic.
Well, he had that song, The Workout, and his first single, the Through the Wire. Like, I mean, we'll talk about that later, but like,
yeah, those but, are just I mean, some saying, examples. And I think that perhaps that's why Drake appreciates him, because he kind of paved that way.
Yeah.
Had he not made it big, then maybe we'd still be able to get the whole gangster rap. I doubt it, but we'll see.
I don't want him like gangster. Yeah. Okay, but yeah, but that's one. So I have two more, but yeah.
Yeah, so I'll go with my third. Shoot. I'm going to go with Unforgettable. It's okay. On his first album. Thank Me Later. It has Jeezy. I think he was still young Jeezy at the time. He's, for whatever reason, felt like he's matured, so he dropped the young. But it starts off with a song sample from Aaliyah. And I guess it was an old Isley Brothers song. I didn't know that till much later. I don't know why I didn't know it. But it just goes, let me know, let me know. And when I heard that in me, I was like, this is an Aaliyah song. Yeah. And so I listened to the rest of it. And then it picks up on speed, on cadence. And it's really just him talking about, really, he's talking about now, but that he'll look in the future back on that very moment in time. So, and I don't know if that's a mention towards other big songs like R&B, because obviously he's an R&B very influential artist, so he obviously pays homage to some other R&B. So I don't know if it's like Nat King Cole's Unforgettable song, which was also then rewritten by his daughter. But he has Aaliyah, and we always know he's always mentioned Aaliyah.
Yeah.
And then he says, like, since you can't escape me, do I ever cross your mind? And I was listening on my way here with my brother, Brian McKnight's song, right? Anytime. And he says that. Do I ever cross your mind? So I that's just me thinking about him using it. And we were talking again before even recording. He's been sued multiple times for using different lines on stuff with people that have it copywritten. So I'm not far-fetched. And that's called, people call that biting, meaning that they're just ripping him off. I don't think so. Again, hip hop is very sample heavy. So if anything, it's like a shout out mostly. So giving props in that way.
Yeah.
But I like it because, again, it's him talking about, I'm living in the moment now. I'm looking forward to the memories of right now. Basically, where will I be at? And am I going to look back and reflect on this moment right now?
Okay. That's good. I like it. I did listen to that song.
It's one of the more heavily produced songs. So I know we say he has a lot of songs that are stripped down. This is definitely not one.
No.
This has a lot of production value behind it.
So the one that I have, I guess, is not way overproduced, but there is a lot of production value. It's going to be Headlines.
It's a good one.
And this one, it's honestly, to be very honest, nothing like really huge like sticks out to me. But for whatever reason, I was just humming. I was like, huh. And it just kept coming back to me. I was like, oh, let me listen to it again. Let me see it again. Like I said, it's not like his rhyme scheme, the lyrics didn't really grab to me. The beat itself is good, but it's not like great, like something that's gravitating me. I honestly cannot tell you the exact reason why this song is in my top five. I just know I had to put it in there. Just like, you know what? It's just one that I want to continue to listen to. And I just like his first line. He's like, I might be too strong out of compliments, overdosed on confidence, starting not to give a fuck and stop fearing the consequence. I just the way that he just starts rhyming it, just coming out of his mouth very naturally.
They know, yeah, they know.
Yeah. Like, and it's just really catchy. So, just a simple one, but yeah, that's would be my top five. Just that's very simple.
Funny. So my other one, then, in kind of along that line, it's Best I Ever Had. So that's what made him known, at least stateside. I don't know if he was already getting big in Canada, but that's a shorty. You the fucking best. You the fucking best. You the best I ever had. That song is a really good song. That's where he showed the ability to go transition from rapping to singing, and I liked it. Cause she hold me down every time I hit her up. Just, I like it. If you don't know that song and you don't know, I mean, it's whatever, but listen to it. It's his first big hit, and that's what put him on the map. And I don't think he was signed to Young Money yet at that time, and that's where Wayne was like, okay, let's go after him.
Okay, nice. My final one is going to be 5 a.m. in Toronto. So this is the one where I don't know if it's just me, and Poppy, you might have to listen to it again or whatever, but I swear he just sounds very different in it. like I said, whenever I hear him talk or him rap, it just kind of sounds like, not nasally, but like he's trying to like tell like this and
It's almost, I don't want to say guttural because it doesn't sound, but it just comes from his throat. He doesn't have any diaphragm behind
it. It's odd. And that's what, like I said, most of the time, that's what really like turns me off. Like I don't want to listen to him. But in this one, he doesn't have that. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense, but he doesn't have that in the song. And that's what first grabbed him. He's like, okay, he doesn't sound like he normally does. He sounds very different. And I was like, he's not doing that. I just call it his voice, his rap voice he's trying to do. But this one, he was just trying to do it like normally, naturally. And he does a lot of corny lines in this. And he does corny stuff in tons of his songs. But this one wasn't one that made me cringe. Like when he says, he's like, I live a Sinatra lifestyle. And no, I need to be Frank. I'm like, Frank Sinatra. I chuckled. I was like, okay, that's pretty funny.
It's a good pun.
Yeah, it's a good little pun. And he does change his rhymes. He doesn't keep it all the way through. He changes it a little bit near the end. And I do like that when they change it. I didn't hear that too much in all of his other albums, or at least I didn't recognize it. Not saying that he doesn't do it. I just didn't recognize it. But in this one, it was like a clear change. And I was like, oh, okay. I like how he changed it there. And it's not that long. I think it's like 3 minutes, three minutes, 14 seconds. Another shorter song. But I think it's not one of his bigger hits either way.
No.
But like I said, the way that he changed his voice, and you can tell he changed his voice because near the end, he goes to his rap voice. And I hear that, it's not like this. I'm like, okay. He must be conscious knowing that he changed. Like, he has to know that he was rapping very differently in the beginning and at the end where he went to his like standard rap voice.
Yeah, well, let's keep in mind that he was a student of Wayne.
Yeah, so and that's why
he probably picked
like
up on the tendencies of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's times where he doesn't, times where he's not. Now he's definitely found himself, so he is his unique style. But
yeah, now he.
Definitely in the earlier stages, for sure, he had the influences of Wayne, and you can't fault him for that specifically. But
Wayne wasn't. With Young Money, like, they all want to be in everyone's song and everyone's album.
I can't
every
stand
track.
The whole group. I mean, really, the main three being Wayne, Drake, and Minaj.
Yeah.
And what I was telling you earlier, like I said, obviously, if it weren't for Wayne, that wouldn't have happened. Minaj blew up, I think, probably first, like, before Drake. I'll have to look, but... And I felt there was a time when Wayne kind of fell off and had his little differences between Birdman and himself. Drake kind of held the whole thing together and just, you know, hit after hit, brought stuff out. With that, he found himself, I think.
Yeah, and he undoubtedly, unequivocally, is the best thing out of that group.
For sure.
Like, people can say Wayne. Okay, well, Wayne was not consistent. Wayne had, like, this peak, and then he just dropped hard.
And that was a byproduct of Cash Money Records.
Yeah.
So, really, I consider Wayne CMB, not YCMB.
Yeah. So, it's... But, like I said, Drake has been consistent with his albums, with his sales. I think his reception or his reviews and critics have polarized on some albums. Not, but, again, overall, and the audience-wise, he's been consistent in keeping those records.
I was hit high. After hit, yeah. After hit. Like,
whether,
you can't...
like I said, whether or not you like him, I can't deny him his success because he's had it. But yeah, that's the last one of my top five.
Yeah, for me, if you didn't see it coming, Light Up, it's him featuring Jay-Z. It's interesting because obviously I'm big into the metaphors, right? So Light Up is Drake in his verse. What I interpret it to be is him talking about his career lighting up. I've been up for 4 days, getting money both ways, dirty and clean. I could use a glass of Cold Spades. And then Jay talks about when you're lit. Like, he has metaphor analogies of light, jewelry being lit, like high. And then he talks about when you've made it, like he has. He gives him advice on his career, like, here's how they gonna come at you, with silly rap feuds trying to distract you, in disguise in the form of a favor, the Bozzini meeting. So he gives him advice, which is funny because then he beefs with Jay later on, gets back with him, beefs with him later on the mixtape, or they call it a playlist, I guess, More Life.
Uh-huh.
He has the Free Smoke song, and he admits, he's like, I never listened to Jay's advice about the rap feuds. And then after that, he goes back to go beefing with other people. So it's funny because, I mean, the man has to defend himself. So, I mean, you have to beef if people are coming at you. But at the same time, like, I don't know, it was the beginning or the first collaboration between two artists which I wish would work more together. I always said I wish that Drake would have signed to Rockefeller or Rock Nation before YMCMB. I think his money or his music would have been better. Not better. I can't say that. I think he's had excellent music, obviously. I really like the man, but his music probably would have taken a different sound to it. Because he still would have kept his two producers, because his two producers are like lifelong friends of his.
Yeah.
So they would have just been dragged into Roc Nation, but he wouldn't have been a part of this. The Young Money movement, which I didn't like. Like the whole Bedrock song. I hate that song.
I can make you bedrock.
That sounds like a high school parody rap video. That's what that sounds like to me. But that's it. I mean, Light Up. A great song.
Nice.
I don't know if you want to go over honorable mentions, but I think those five, I mean, 10 songs, because I don't think we had a similar song that we put in our top five.
No, I don't think we did.
So that's 10 Drake songs right there. Good ones, too.
Yeah. So I'll give two honorable mentions. One is, I think it's called Passion Fruit.
That's on More Life playlist.
Yes, and I really like that one, and I liked Marvin's Room.
Yeah, Take Care. Too. Good. Decent album. Again, I don't think it was Grammy worthy, or not. I don't know. But
it shouldn't have won the Grammys.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Free Smoke, I mentioned, that's actually a good one. It's a faster beat. And then From Time, it's with Janae.
Yeah, Aiko. I like that song a lot.
Because it's a conversation between him and basically like a lost love.
And it's really cool because she's on the track first for like a minute and like somewhat seconds, and that's a lot of features aren't like aren't no. for that long. Uh-huh. Like it's odd to see. The only time I've ever seen that I remembered was Tupac's Stuck Passion, where he doesn't rap until the last
the very
verse.
End of
I
it.
Was like, what? Who does that?
Yeah,
but
I love me,
and I think just a last thing before we rate him is. I think he, for whatever reason, I think he shines well when he's featured.
He compliments people well.
And I was like, I don't understand. Like, he does it also in different languages. Like, he's been on two big, big hits with Romeo Santos and with Bad Bunny. Yeah. They're both in Spanish, and he both did it in Spanish.
Yeah, he did both in Spanish, and that I mean, so we'll go into this because he has the other moniker, Champagne Papi.
Yeah,
and there was always I remember for several years people were like, is he Dominican? Is he Puerto Rican? Or what is he? I was like, how do you, he's claimed what he is? So the fact that you're confused is funny, but the man didn't care. He was okay with it.
Yeah, you can tell him. Yeah, sure, I'm Dominican.
He's like,
yeah,
I'm Champagne Papi.
Yeah,
I'm Boricua. I'm Dominican. He didn't care. He was getting his money.
Yeah, and like I said, he compliments it very well, and to bring his own style to those songs, and that's where I think personally where he shines the most is on these featured ones, because he knows how to compliment and he just makes a song better.
Agreed. And then one other small honorable mention, which will answer the question we had earlier about him working with Kanye West on his first studio album. So Show Me a Good Time, honorable mention for sure. I love that song. It's great. Kanye West helped produce that track specifically.
Oh, okay.
And interestingly enough, I saw a lot of credited individuals that I didn't know help work with him. Billy Joel is credited to helping work on that album.
Hmm.
Like, Billy Joel's obviously an icon, and it's interesting to see, like, everyone that was in there. There's several people. No ID was on there. Timbaland was on there. I knew Swiss Beats was obviously on there. But,
yeah.
There was a lot of people on a first studio album from someone who blew up from just a mixtape. So it kind of shows you how, even just back in 2010... different hip-hop had become, because find another artist that started in the 90s or early 2000s that would have had that many notable artists on a first studio album after a mixtape.
Yeah, it's unheard of.
No, it is.
And that goes back to where he's collaborating or quote-unquote collaborate with lots of people on his album, where he's like, you know, this person helps me get started off running on the process. I'm like, okay, I understand you can collaborate with people, but and that's where things get kind of gray, and people are like, is he having ghostwriters, or how much is he truly writing himself?
Yeah, and again, even if not so, I mean, the amount of accusations for me, and again, based on the history of hip-hop, you kind of have to believe, because at the same time, while people accuse him of it, there's other people that give credit for people that don't write things down.
Yeah.
Biggie was notoriously known for not writing things down, and so is Jay, and artists, even artists that they've beefed with, including like Nas, who's worked with Jay in the studio and making songs, like, the man doesn't write it. He just hears the beat and just goes in and spits it. Kanye. So, I mean, I don't know. You kind of have to somewhat reason, but it doesn't matter enough to me. Does it place him in terms of like all-time greats? Maybe. For me, maybe. But not now. We'll see when it's said and done.
Yeah, we'll see. So, our final verdict. Is he underrated, overrated, or does he have his just desserts?
Yeah. And before you give your answer, I said I wanted to give the criteria that I use specifically. So kind of hand in hand to me, rhyming abilities and the lyricism, which includes but not limited to like the flow, the rhyme schemes, cadence, speed, the structure of the verse. And then even when now you come to feature, I mentioned how I felt like DMX was always outshone or out, you know, rapped in every other song he had with big artists. That's a part of it for me. Your discography, right? Your longevity, your body of work. It's not just how long you've been around, but have you consistently been making great music that stands the test of time and you've stayed relevant? Third one, influence and impact, right? What have you really done or contributed to the genre? Or like even from philosophical standpoint, I think that that's worth crediting. Commercial success, right? If you're going to be considered an all-time great or like if you're going to be given props, you have to be recognized. Like no one makes music to not be recognized. Not at that level, at least. And then the last one is kind of the, at the end of the day, emceeing, right? Your performance, your stage presence. Can you get the crowd hyped? Get them into this performance? Those are the five things I always look at.
Okay. So going based off of that, what you're going to do, mine really teeters.
Fair enough.
It teeters from...
But you're going to have to explain why.
Okay, so it teeters between being overrated and getting his... that he gets the amount that he deserves. The reason comes for, again, it's looking at it on basically on a non-biased viewpoint, and but I have to mix in my biases into it. So basically, my whole thing is like it feels to me that he is wanting to go more the pop route, which it's fine. But in terms of like talking about rapping and rappers and what he's done towards it, he's contributed a lot to it, but I feel like he's taking the Taylor Swift route. I mean, that's not, some people say that's not fair to say because Taylor Swift went completely the other way, but he's kind of like, it kind of sounds like he's slowly progressing to that way so that we don't really notice it.
I disagree.
Yeah. And I know you would. But that's how I feel in terms of what people listen to mainstream wise. And well, so, and I know it sounds kind of all like, cause I do give him credit, but, and that's why I was like, well, I think that way, but also I have listened to his other stuff on the album. And so I can't, that's why I kind of teeter behind it. Cause like, I honestly do think, but if people were to say like 100% he's always like, well, I don't think so as well. I think also he has brought, he's brought his own style and hasn't claimed to change it for the changes in hip hop, whether it's doing mumble rap, changing your flow to fit this type of music or style, whatever. He's kept consistent with the way that he wants to do his music, whether it is when he's purely rapping on a song or when he's singing. He's kept it consistent, not changing for anyone. And I really admire that. So that's why I was like, I think that, and that's why I want to put him like there too. Like he does deserve everything that people are praising him for, that he's great, that he is successful as a rapper, and that he's able to change in an instant. And so that's why I kind of teeter-totter, because like I look at it as a just objectively, but when I look at it, my biased, me personal opinion, my personal taste, I was like, nah. So that's why I'm kind of that's just me though.
That makes sense, but I'm gonna discredit your concept of him moving towards that pop. Especially with his last album, which was a double featured album, the Scorpio.
Like 20 something.
Yeah, songs? And I like that, right? Because I've always mentioned I get mad at the fact that we're getting seven tracks. What kind of garbage is that?
Or we get 23 tracks and only three songs are good.
And then this one, he gives us that many, and they're most of them, I don't say all, are really, really good and definitely heavily hip hop influences. You have a couple poppy, kind of upbeaty things like dance hall stuff, sure. But there's a heavy influence on hip hop, and like there's Mob Ties, there's Nonstop, it goes on. I thought it was a good album, quite frankly. So I was glad that he gave us that last year. But to rate, I could go back and forth too, but for different reasons. And I guess it depends on the crowd I'm speaking to, right? Like there's this group of people that think he is the greatest of all time. Absolutely not in my opinion. Definitely no. But then there's also hip hop heads, purists, not specifically you, but others that absolutely hate him and trash him for it.
And I
think that they overlook the what he brings to the table. So I'm going to go with Wildcard. I'm going to go with he's actually slightly underappreciated. I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
I actually think he's slightly underappreciated.
Okay, we're on two completely separate spectrums.
I mean, at first I thought going in, I'm like, the man is the fifth richest rapper. Forbes list put it out just a couple weeks ago. He's under Kanye, Jay's number one. He met a Billy, by the way. Who else were the other two? P. Diddy and Dre. So the typical four.
Yeah.
And then he was at the bottom with like 150 or something like that, or 180. But I'm going to go with I think he's honestly slightly underappreciated in a weird way, because I think what he's appreciated for, looked at, is the fans like him for the pop stuff. But when it comes to his hip hop stuff, I don't know. As a fan of hip hop, I'm going to put he's slightly underappreciated.
I think the problem
is that he brings a lot to the table and people overlook it. Like, he holds his own with Jay on three separate tracks. And I don't know. Like, come on.
I think it has to do with because of his polarizing songs. Like, he has his pop songs, and he does have some really like bad A rap songs, and it kind of reminds me of, I know, okay, this is a bad example, but this is the only way I can think of, is Nickelback. Sure. Nickelback is hated because of their sound, but here's the thing though, is like, they have like their singles that are very poppy, but then they have their album stuff where they actually have like really hard, like,
yeah,
rock songs.
That's not an analogy I can relate to, but I can see what you're saying, because I understand what you're coming from for Drake.
Yeah, but that's the way I look. Is like, Drake has like these, and I guess hip hop wise, you can look at Migos. Migos comes out with like the best songs they can, and come out with 20 songs on their album, and they all suck except for the singles. So like, and that is like opposite of Drake, where the only good stuff are the singles, whereas with Drake is a lot of people only stick to the singles, and they don't look at.
And that's exactly what I say. I think he's underappreciated. Yeah, I wouldn't say a ton. He does get a lot of props, but I'm gonna go, he's just a bit underappreciated.
I'm
not on the high spectrum, but
I'm gonna go more. He's a little bit overrated. He gets what he deserves, just because like, there are people that do put him up there, and I think a lot of people overall think that. And I'm just like, I'm not one of those.
Last controversial comment I make. So. Old hip hop OGs might hate me for it, but so people, you know, Nate Dogg, right? OG might be the catchiest hook artist of all time. I might have to give that to Drake. Okay. Drake's hooks are far catchier, in my opinion. They weren't at first, but as the years go by, a decade later, his hooks are still, you know, just incredible. Like, as a hook artist,
I guess
Nate Dogg was the OG, but Drake has I don't know, he's just got it more.
See, I think what we're going to have to do is have to do experiment 10 years now, because Nate Dogg he passed away, RIP, you know, but people are like, I think the last thing he did was like in 2000.
Mid 2000s.
Like, the last one I remember is when he was with Chingy and what's his face? It wasn't Cameron. Who was it? He was like, woo, I like that. I like that. Girl, throw that thing.
I don't know.
I can't remember. But like, I know that's the song, last but one. That's the last one I remember. So it's like, but there's a lot of people that listen to Drake now that have no idea who the heck Nate Dogg was, because again, he didn't have the presence that Drake had.
No.
So, like, you can tell them because you heard both of them. But other people were like, okay, let's kind of do an experiment. Like, what do you hear?
They're not going to like Nate Dogg, because a lot of the people don't like that old school sound.
Yeah. So
in fact, I've even mentioned I don't like some of Biggie's songs, because they're, like, flat.
It was all a dream.
There's no true, like, climax in, like, the production value. It's just all this monotone sound. He was great lyrically, but I mean, the sound just sounded boring to me. It didn't go anywhere.
You talked about the production of his first album, Ready to Die, and it just was odd.
It was.
But again, we'll talk about it another time. But let us know what you think of Drake.
Yeah, because
again, we both have polarizing views for different reasons. But we both can, I think we both can come to agreement that we do know that he is leaving a footprint in hip hop, whether you think it's good or bad, but he's left his footprint on there, and I think that's an accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah, and I didn't give one last time, and I know we gave you five different songs. You probably heard them though. Again, he's that popular, but I'm not a huge fan of Logic, but he had that new album drop, and he had a song called Homicide with Eminem. I like that one, but mostly I just like Eminem's verse. So that's a new song I've listened to recently. It wasn't this week. It was honestly like 3 weeks ago, but because I didn't share it on the last podcast, I figured I'd share that one. So it's Homicide. Listen to it.
All of the songs from Drake are new to me for the past week.
Oh, really?
But well, not all of them. But the one I do really like 8 out of 10. That wasn't on my list, but I think a lot of people would like that one. It's cool. A really good one.
Yeah, let us know who you guys want us to rate. I might have to review some, because like I said, I'm not a huge Logic fan, so I probably know maybe 10 songs, but not enough for me to make a full assessment on his career. So
yeah, and that's another one that a lot of people talk about.
They love him.
Yeah.
I get it, but at the same time, I don't.
Well, it's either they love him or they feel that people need to love him more.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that.
He's underappreciated.
And we'll talk about that with that one. I think you and I will have a more... we'll be on more agreements on Logic, I think. But But let us know. Email us at hiphopsoiree2018@gmail.com. Leave a comment in the episode comment box. And yeah, we'll catch you guys next time. This is DJ Goose.
And not Champagne Poppy.
Not Champagne Poppy. And this is Hip Hop Soiree.